Altoona attacking the hoop down to our left. Becker at the right elbow. Bounce feed to Camistral, running the right baseline. No off the glass. Rebound, Osceola. Ball played ahead to midcourt. Nice hustle there by Owen Gunderson, looking to intercept a pass, but all he's able to do is knock it out of bounds into the stands opposite of us, and it'll stay Osceola ball. So Osceola leading 72-67 in this one. Oh, travel in midcourt. Good job done defensively by Miles Sinnett. He's able to force Ashton Gross into the travel. And the ball back to Altoona. With 1:20 left to go, this really is a must-score possession for Altoona. Down by five. Got to score on this. Got to make it a one-possession game with about a minute to go. Owen Gunderson walks up the floor. Knee-high dribble with the left hand. He's picked up immediately. Got the Sinnett left side. Sinnett, right elbow for Camistral. Spins a pass to Gunderson, right side. Works his way inside the arc, but nowhere to go. Final minute of the game. 5-point lead for Osceola. Driving on through. Sinnett puts up a shot. He scores, and he's fouled. The hoop and the harm for Miles Sinnett. And with 56 seconds to go, the lead is down to 3 for Osceola. Now everybody will pause as Miles Sinnett came down and immediately ended up going down to his tuchus underneath the hoop down to our left. As he came down, he landed awkwardly. The trainer's quickly out there, most likely, though I'm not a doctor and neither are you from the distance we are. Looks like he may have landed on his ankle awkwardly there. Anybody that's ever played even a pickup game at the local Y knows that that can hurt like the Dickens if you just roll an ankle. So the trainer's out there flexing his right leg. Miles Sinnett, though, scores and was fouled. So a chance for him to get a 3-point play here. The foul was on Graydon Mork, his fourth personal. Sinnett, by the way, now pops up like a dazed deer that was wounded but not fatally. He'll get up and he'll jog to his near side bench where Altoona did call a timeout. So Altoona calls a timeout ahead of this free throw that's going to be taken by Miles Sinnett. 56 seconds to go, 72-69. Osceola leads by 3. Sinnett will get a free throw here momentarily, and from there, though, the fun can really begin. Well, again, Derek Montesano with us, and Derek, oh, we're having fun on this Thursday night, aren't we?
Oh, yes, we are.
What'd you think of that play right there?
Well, that's just great play, just being able to drive in there, get that foul, still have the ability to put that ball in. And that this is a big 3-point play here if this goes in.
Of course, the timeout taken by Paul Henrich, the fifth-year head coach, and rightfully so, I think. One, you want to give Sinnett a chance to shake off the sting of rolling that ankle, and he's still out there. He's going to take the free throw. But also you want to talk over the scenarios here defensively, whether you make the shot or you miss the shot. So Sinnett will take the free throw. Everybody will stack up the lane here. 56 seconds left to play in a 3-point lead for Osceola. Sinnett the righty, the free throw on the way. Backed, heeled it, no. Rebound, tapped around, out to midcourt. It's picked up near side by Day for Altoona. They have it. Right side, 3 on the way. No good off the front rim, but the putback is good by Becker. 72-71 in favor of Osceola. A timeout taken by Osceola. The free throw was no good by Sinnett. The rebound was tapped back to midcourt. Day saved it in front of the scores table. Got it to Gunderson. His 3 for the tie was no good, but there was Becker for the rebound, and he scores. And with 43 seconds to play, it's 72-71, a 1-point lead for Osceola, and they'll have the ball coming out of a timeout they used here. So it's reset the scene for you. 43 seconds left to play. Osceola leads by one little old point. Both teams have a timeout to use. In fact, Altoona's got 2 timeouts. Osceola has 1 in case they get into trouble trying to trigger this ball in. Both teams are in the bonus. Osceola's in the double bonus. They're shooting two free throws the rest of the way regardless. Altoona, meanwhile, could be shooting a 1-1, depending on the foul. Now, the thing for Altoona is, obviously, you're looking for the steal. Obviously, you're looking for the turnover. At what point do you foul? And who are you trying to foul if that comes up? Remember, no shot clock. So Osceola conceivably could milk out the whole clock. Ball's thrown in from underneath the hoop. A baseball pass into the front court, and a foul is going to be called. It was a fly pattern pass by Gross looking for Mork as he ran up the floor, and it became a jump ball on the pass, like a wide receiver going up, and he drew contact with Levi Day, and they call the foul on Day, his third, and that's going to send Mork to the line to shoot two. So his first free throw with the student body yelling in his ear is good as it falls in off the front rim. 2-point lead for Osceola with 42 seconds left. The second free throw out the way, arcing towards hoop, no good. Big rebound here, tapped around, picked up by Becker. He'll run up the floor and decelerate, waiting for help. 35 seconds to go. Osceola leads by two. Altoona ball, and at midcourt, Camistral gets fouled. Tegan Vibrick reached in, going for the steal, and a foul. That'll be the ninth foul on Osceola, the last 1-1 situation. Camistral could tie it if he makes both free throws. Free throw on the way. Good, he earned a second. If he makes this one, the game is tied. 33 seconds left to go. 1-point lead for Osceola. Camistral going for the tie. On its way, got it. And the game is tied at 73-all. Osceola ball, looking to throw an underneath the hoop. Before they do, timeout taken by Osceola. 33 seconds left to go in regulation. The game tied at 73-all. That is the last timeout for Osceola. So if they have trouble throwing this ball in on the inbounds, they don't have the safety valve. Well, 33 seconds left to play. Osceola, the question now for Tyler Olson, once you get the ball in, if you can settle into your offense, how long do you wait until you try to score? You can conceivably, without the shot clock, milk it right down to the very end. Meanwhile, for Altoona, now no longer do you want to foul, and you want to play good defense. Where does the rebound situation come in as well? Osceola knows they can control the rebounds. They've dominated the second half. And let's not forget this little nugget on both sides. Both teams are in the double bonus. Noise made by both sides. 33 seconds left to play in regulation. Tied at 73-all. Are you having fun tonight? Oh, you are. Mork will throw it in. He can't run the baseline after the timeout, of course. Bounce the feet in the Hall, in the backcourt, being guarded. Throws it up to midcourt, picked up by Vibrock. Back to Hall, and he'll bring it across the midcourt stripe. 25 seconds to play in regulation, all tied. Osceola the ball. They work the ball around the perimeter. High out to the left. Here's Mork. He'll slow things down with 15 to go on the clock. He's out in midcourt. Osceola's going to hold for the last shot. Mork, right-hand dribble, knee high. 8, 7, 6. Mork will drive on in. Drops off the Vibrick underneath, off the glass. He scores. And a timeout taken by Altoona with 2.6 seconds left to go. Tegan Vibrock got the feed from Mork, who drove the lane. He got the ball at the left block, and he scores. And Osceola will take a 75-73 lead with 2.6 seconds left to go. Altoona will use their second to last timeout. Now it looks as though they're gonna put maybe a little time on the clock, which will help Altoona out, but Altoona will have to go the length of the floor, down by two, 3.8 seconds left to go. So they do put a little time on the clock, 3.8 seconds left to go in regulation, and now Tuna will get one more shot. Tegan Vibrick, though, shut down most of the second half. Got a great assist from Mork, who drew the traffic as he drove in, got the pass at the left block, and scored off the glass. All right, Altoona will have to trigger it in. Gunderson will throw it in from underneath the hoop, his own hoop down to our right. Runs the baseline, throws it to Camistral. 2-1, Camistral into the front court. Camistral slips, got a pass off to Becker. Becker gets a three at the buzzer. It's no good. And Osceola's going to hold on for a 75-73 lead. Camistral got the ball, raced up the floor, and he got to the top of the key with still, I think, more time than he thought there was going to be. He slipped. In all reality, the game should have been over there. They probably should have called a travel. None of the officials did. Grayson Becker was at the side of Camistral, got the handoff from him, and heaved up a desperation shot as the buzzer was sounding, but it came up with nothing but air. And Osceola, on the last second shot by Tegan Vibrick, will win this game by the final score of 75-73. What a way to begin our broadcasting schedule here on 93.5 The Tap. A fun one here tonight. We'll come back. We'll give you some final numbers and final notes as we put this game into a neat little package. Altoona Rails fall tonight in what is their home opener. They fall to Osceola by a final score of 75-73. Back with the postgame recap right after this from Eau Claire Hometown Media and 93.5 The Tap.
I'm Scarlett Johansson. My family relied on public assistance to help provide meals for us. These meals fueled my involvement in theater and the arts as a child, which fostered my love for acting. The Feeding America network of food banks helps millions of people put food on the table. You can join the movement to end hunger by donating, volunteering, and advocating. Because when people are fed, futures are nourished. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Well, welcome back one final time to Altoona High School, where the Osceola Chieftains, on a bucket by Tegan Vibrick with 2 seconds left, defeat the Altoona Railroaders by a final score of 75-73. A humdinger of a ball game on this Thursday night. Ooh, the elves giving us some extra little candy, little early candy, if you will, during this holiday season, as we had a fun one tonight, though Altoona comes up short, 75-73. Osceola wins this one tonight. Scott Montesano with you. Derek Montesano will join us in just a moment with some individual stats and some team stats in this one tonight. But you look at this game for Altoona. They got off to the blistering red-hot start in this game, led by as many as 13 points in the opening few minutes of this game. I think they scored the first 8 or 10 points of this game in totality. Eventually, the game settled down. Osceola would bring the lead down to a single possession a couple of times in the first half. But for the most part, Altoona was able to counter. Altoona maintained a 5 to 6 point lead. We'd go into the second half. They'd keep that lead 5 or 6 points. But at about the 3-minute mark into the second half, Osceola would take the lead. Osceola was never able to pull away, but they were able to get the lead up to 5 points a couple of times. Altoona came storming back. They were down by 5 as we hit the final minute of this game, but a big 3-point play by Miles Sinet got them back into the game. A steal and a score tied the game up. It set us all up with the game tied at 73 all. Osceola ball with 33 seconds to go. Osceola was able to bring the ball into the front court. They milked down the clock to the final 10 seconds. That's when Graydon Mork would drive in. He would drive in, draw two defenders, feed a pass to Tegan Vibrick at the left block, who would score. That would give Osceola the 75-73 lead. Altoona would have one more shot to tie or win the game as they'd put 3.8 seconds on the clock. Altoona would get the ball to their best player, Keaton Camistral, who came racing up the floor. But Camistral, as he brought the ball to the top of the key and was set up to take what could have been a game-winning shot, slipped, lost his balance. The ball was picked up by Grayson Becker, who heaved up a shot right at the buzzer. Not even sure it would have counted, but ended up being an air ball. And Osceola holds on and wins 75-73. Individual numbers in this one. Osceola was led by Tegan Vibrock, who had 18 points, including those final two. Ashton Gross had 16 points, and Ethan Hall added 11. For Altoona, Keaton Camistral had 19 points. Grayson Becker, the freshman with a huge second half, finished with 16. And this is when we bring in Derek Montesano. Derek, what do you have from some team stats in this one?
Well, it started off second half statistic. Altoona shot 12 for 21 from the field in the second half, but only 1 for 5 from three-point land, which really did hurt them in the second half. Over on the Osceola side, 12 for 24, so same amount of shots made. Osceola, so they finished at about half there. 4 for 8 from three-point land for them. Total numbers starting with Altoona. They went 28 for 49 from the field, 7 for 16 from three-point land with 17 rebounds. On the Osceola side, only 23 for 47, but 7 for 14 from three-point land with 21 rebounds. So with those extra fouls and those extra 3 points, it was 8, with those extra little free throws, it was enough for them to overtake this Altoona team.
That's the other thing we didn't really touch on there. You are right, Derek. Osceola got to the line a lot in that second half as Altoona, the fouls kicked up on them, especially in the first half of that second half, and Osceola was able to get some points at the line. Still a heck of a ball game tonight. Osceola with the win will improve to 4-0, 2-0 in the conference. Altoona drops to 1-2, 1-1 in the Middle Border Conference. Altoona next in action with a non-conference game against Stanley Boyd on Saturday night. Altoona will then next week have a couple of conference games. They'll be at Prescott on Tuesday and home next Friday versus St. Croix Central. Of course, here on 93.5 The Tap and Eau Claire Hometown Media, our next coverage is coming up Tuesday night. We'll have Eau Claire Memorial at Eau Claire North in girls basketball, 7:15 tip, and a 7 o'clock broadcast start for that one. Well, Derek, any final thoughts with this one tonight?
Well, just Osceola managed to storm back in the second half, and overall, Osceola, they just, well,
figure out a way. Hey, patience was rewarded. Tonight's game started some 40 minutes past its original start time due to a ceremony and a delay to getting that ceremony started. So what was supposed to be a 7 o'clock tip didn't start until 7:40. But patience is rewarded, again, like a good barbecue. Barbecue isn't quick. You got to let that fat melt into the meat. We had to wait a little bit, but had a heck of a broadcast and a heck of a game in front of us tonight. Derek, thank you very much for joining us.
Well, it was great to be joining you.
Well, that'll wrap it up for us here tonight from Altoona High School. The Osceola Chieftains take down Altoona 75-73. Big thanks to Chris and Chuck back at the Palatial Studios of Civic Media. And on behalf of everyone who made this broadcast possible, I'm Scott Montesano saying there's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow shining at the end of every day. Make sure to take advantage of it. And until Tuesday night, so long, everybody.
Center area high school basketball this winter. Eau Claire Memorial and North games, along with Altoona and Regis. This is Scott Montesano. Join us for our next game, Tuesday, December 12th, for Intra-City Clash in Girls Basketball, Memorial versus North. Coverage begins at 7 on 93.5 FM and the Civic Media app. We're your home for Eau Claire area high school basketball this winter. Eau Claire Memorial and North games, along with Altoona and Regis. This is Scott Montesano. Join us for our next game, Tuesday, December 12th, for Intra-City Clash in Girls Basketball, Memorial versus North. Coverage begins at 7 on 93.5 FM and the Civic Media app.
So this is great. So, John, okay, I want to ask you about everything you've done in your career. But first, I know you don't have all night, but first, you had on your show this morning, you had Murphy, your old riding buddy with the radio station. This is funny. I had to look up his first name.
Well, you know.
I was on his show in the 90s when I was a stand-up, and I'd work Skyline Comedy Cafe.
He has kept that
He's
a
just
national
Murphy in the morning.
Secret.
Yeah.
Yes. It's Jim.
It's Jim, yeah. It's Jim. I did Google it.
Yeah.
That's cool. So, yeah, how was that? How was it?
It was great. Tammy is just an amazing human being, Tammy Elliott.
Yeah.
And Murph is Murph. Murph is the most steady person. I mean, consistent, you know. He's a 300-hitter in baseball type thing year after
nice.
Year. And that's the cool thing about him. And like I always told people, you know, he never acted like he was the smartest person in the room, the funniest person in the room, you know, the most charismatic person in the room. But he always made sure he found a way for the other people in the room to be those things.
Yeah.
And that takes, you've been on radio. I mean, we've all seen it. And sometimes that's a lot harder than people think.
That's a great host.
It's like, that's being a great host.
That's
so
really...
that's what he always did.
It's funny.
So actually, did you hear him this morning when we started out the show? Good morning. It's Murphy in the Morning on WGBW.
Oh, that's great.
So we had him come back from every break. We had him as the lead guy.
I remember when I would, like I said, I was on a show a couple times at the clubs. When you work the stand-up clubs, they make you go do radio.
I
they
remember
had deals.
Well, which you guys loved.
Yeah.
You know, you guys were up to like 2 in the morning.
We had to get up. Yeah,
and then
exactly.
You get up at 5 and you drive to Green Bay.
Because, yeah.
Yeah.
And then oftentimes the club owner would insist on taking you out to breakfast. The guy you don't know.
And all you want to do is go back to bed.
Yeah, exactly. And even if they were nice guys, it's like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
But what I liked about Murphy was, and I think I did the show a couple times, I was expecting DJ guy. Like
right.
He'd get so many places and he
right.
was kind of. Just chill.
Yeah. Totally.
And I didn't know what to make of it at first.
Yeah.
And then you settle in, you're like, oh, this is pretty nice.
Yeah. That's just him.
Yeah. That's great. I had a guy in Oshkosh. I was promoting something and this company set up this little tour. I call in and the guy goes, hey, Peter, hang on. We're going to be with you in about 2 minutes. Okay, buddy. I'm like, you're not even on the air.
And
that's
how
you're doing the voice.
Yeah.
And then I get on the air and he goes, we're talking with Pete Schauba. The movie is Godfather in Green Bay. I'm like, that's not the name of the movie.
Yeah.
And that's not my name.
Yeah.
Do your homework.
Isn't that something?
A little less on time and temp.
Yeah.
And pronounce the name right.
I know
but Murphy
mean.
Was great. He was just himself. It seemed like, I don't
absolutely.
Know.
Absolutely. That
seemed,
was Murphy. And he's
yeah.
always the same way today. And that's what always made it good to work with him. You
yeah.
know, he let other people almost like have the fun in some ways. And he was a great, you know, being antagonizing people in the right way and
yeah.
all those things. So he was one in a million.
That's really cool. So what's he going to do now? Is he just fishing or what's
his? I don't know. I know he's, you know, wants to go south at some point and play some golf and just kind of enjoy life. And,
yeah,
you know, it's one of those situations where sometimes it's like, okay, maybe it's time to, like, you know, not get up at 3 a.m.
Yeah. And what did you were like his sidekick for quite a while, right?
13 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
And with Tammy too?
No. The first one was Kathy Larkin.
Okay.
Who was a good friend of ours, who was on the show here about a month or so ago. Then it was Tammy Elliott.
Okay.
Obviously. And then Katie. Then Jen Lawrence. There's like about 7 or 8 of them.
Wow.
I feel bad now. I'm trying. I can't get them all straight. And then there's Kathy Hall and Marty Spatel. So he had a lot of female co-hosts over the years.
Yeah.
Lisa Malik.
Wow. He that's
might,
cool.
Might be a dozen.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's just one chapter in John Minow's broadcasting career in Green Bay. And I know, I think I told people the other night, I moved to Northeast Wisconsin in junior high, went to Marinette Catholic Central High School, and I remember your name. And I know you hosted so much stuff, because when I met you, my God, I know that voice. Like, you got that $1 million voice. Did you come out of the womb talking like that? And you're like, you have to go into broadcasting.
Yeah, I think I did.
Yeah. So what else have you done?
That's the only thing I've got. Everybody needs one thing.
Give us your resume, if you would.
Okay, well, you know what? I went to college in Arizona, Arizona State, and little junior college up in northern Minnesota first, and then Arizona State. Got my first job at one of the smallest TV stations in the nation, KMVT, Magic Valley Television, Twin Falls, Idaho.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Your leader for Southern Idaho News.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you grew up in the UP, right?
Yep. Yep.
And then you went to Arizona State, yep. Then there, and then was it your goal to come back here?
Kind of.
Yeah.
It was roundabout way, because I start, you know, when you're in school, you take the first job you can get. You don't turn down a job.
Right.
So I got that, and I was sports director coming right out of college, which was cool.
Yeah.
And stayed there a couple of years, then went to Tucson, Arizona, then from Tucson to Flint, Michigan, and then Flint to Green Bay.
No kidding.
Yeah. But this has always been kind of my destination. Always
Green
was.
Bay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Growing up in the UP, coming to Green Bay was like coming to Disneyland.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Going to the big city,
absolutely.
Right?
Oh, my God. They got a McDonald's.
They got multiple McDonald's,
they got a
buddy.
Big boy. Ponderosa was huge. Yeah.
Ponderosa. I miss Ponderosa.
Me too.
So you did, okay, so you're Murphy. You're doing Mino and the Mayor now. And I know you did some TV work too,
did
right?
A lot of TV work. I mean, I think other than Channel 2, I think I've worked for every station in the market
kidding.
Over the years.
Yeah. Doing sports?
Doing sports, yeah. That's all I ever did was sports.
Yeah.
Yeah. At Channel 26 a few years back, I did a news show, but it was still a light news show. But I've never done hard news.
Okay.
Ever. That's not me.
No desire?
It's just not me. And, you know, it's kind of like I was even thinking about this with Tammy this morning, Tammy Elliott. And she was talking about how she was up for this, like, a big-time HGTV show that was just starting. I think it was Trading Places. But they lost her resume tape. She shipped it out of Green Bay, and they literally sent it to the wrong place.
Oh,
and it didn't get there in time, and yada, yada. And it's just so. But what I'm saying is she would have been so ideal in something like that. It's incredible.
Yeah.
But, like, when I watch her and she has to read a tragic story, it's like, that's not her.
Mm.
You know, she's so bubbly and so effervescent that it's like it. You know,
but she pulls it off.
Yeah, she pulls it off great. But I just wish she, somewhere along the line, maybe she still will, find one where she's exactly in her wheelhouse, where she can show her personality.
Call her up, get her in here.
Absolutely.
Hey, I'm talking to John Minow of Murphy, or of Murphy, listen to that, of Minow in the Morning here on Civic Media. He's John Minow. He's a Green Bay broadcasting legend. I'm going to say that until you're sick of it tonight, John, and he's going to stick with me. It's Peach Wabba. It's Peach Wabba. This is Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Special Report. Hunter Biden has been indicted on 9 federal tax charges in California, accusing him of spending millions of dollars on an extravagant lifestyle rather than paying his tax bills. Loyola Law School professor Lori Levinson.
Even though the indictment does not refer to President Joe Biden, it will undoubtedly be fodder for his political enemies, including those in Congress who have wanted to investigate Hunter Biden, the business of Burisma, the contact with China, and the failure to pay taxes.
CBS's Erica Brown.
This is the second indictment brought by Special Counsel David Weiss's office. Federal prosecutors first filed charges against Hunter Biden in the District of Delaware, and those were three felony counts related to his alleged unlawful possession of a firearm.
And Biden was previously expected to plead guilty to misdemeanor tax charges, but the plea deal imploded in July after a judge raised questions about it. Republicans called it a sweetheart deal. CBS News Special Report, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin will spend $6 million to provide free driver's education classes to 15,000 teenagers. The goal is to cut down on reckless driving. It's the first time Wisconsin has spent money on driver's education since 2004. Students who get free or reduced meals at school would qualify. It's one of dozens of bills Governor Evers signed into law Wednesday. Wisconsin is getting $2.5 million to study new Amtrak service in Madison, Green Bay, and Eau Claire that would connect with Milwaukee, Chicago, and the Twin Cities. Wisconsin is also getting federal grants to support studying expanded service between Milwaukee and Chicago on the existing Hiawatha line, as well as adding a third daily round trip between Chicago, Milwaukee, and the Twin Cities through Wisconsin. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy and warm for this time of year, low tonight in the mid-30s. A mix of sun and clouds and unseasonably mild again tomorrow, a high around 50. Snow showers and breezy, much cooler, mid-30s Saturday. Sun shines back but staying cooler on Sunday, low 30s for the high. It's 39 right now.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5, The Tap.
Welcome back to Nightlight. I'm Pete Schwabba. Joined in the studio tonight By a man I'm becoming fast friends with. Because he came in early, John Mino.
You're just saying that because you still feel so guilty that me and my partner at the time, Nick Vetrano, tried calling your producers for Godfather of Green Bay.
Oh, man.
Looking for bit parts. Just a couple of guys sitting in the bar, couple of guys in the restaurant, couple of the guys just driving by. That's all we were looking for. And
I'm never going to live it down.
No response from your people.
Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. When you make even an independent film, I had no idea.
Yeah.
Like the casting people are handling. Yeah. And as the writer director of The Godfather of Green Bay, you can check it out on Vudu, Prime, and Tubi. Shameful
that
plug.
That was good.
That was a shameful
that
plug.
That was smooth. I'm telling you, man.
Rent it tonight, folks, and you'll see the movie John Mino wanted to be in. And I wish you were because, you know, when you make a film like that and we released it in theaters, we would have loved anybody from the media.
Right.
We were talking, we talked to Donald Driver, and he said, you got to give my wife a part, I think, and then I'll be in it. Yeah. And then this, we're trying to get a couple Packers, but yeah, that's, it's unfortunate that didn't work out, but.
Well, here we are.
You're doing okay anyway, yeah, I think. I don't think you needed me. What do you prefer, John, TV or radio?
Well, let me just say this, because Tammy and I were talking about this morning, because the mayor gives me a hard time because he doesn't think I do enough show prep. Because he'll do all this, you know, whatever.
Okay.
And we talked about that. I said the difference between TV and radio is that in TV, like for a sportscast, you would do 4 hours of prep for 3 minutes on the air.
Oh, my gosh.
In radio, I do 3 minutes of prep for 4 hours on the air.
I still think that's low.
I do, too.
And it's nice when you have probably someone to play off, too. Like, Jim,
absolutely.
You guys have a great... Tell me about your show and tell my listeners about your show, because it's a great show. You guys have great
Thank
chemistry.
Thank you. You know, Jim Schmidt, he was the longest tenured mayor in Green Bay history, 16 years.
Yeah.
And just decided, after his last run, he decided to step aside and explore other things. He does a phenomenal job. He's executive director out at the NEW Community Shelter, which is a quasi-homeless shelter. But it's not just a drop-in homeless shelter. They have residents that'll stay there sometimes 4 to 6 months and then really work on many times the situation or whatever you want to call it that put them there, that made them homeless. I mean, they all were homeless.
Right.
And it's really interesting, though. They really work with these people, and they want them to graduate from this and have a job and have a place to live and all those sorts of things. So it's really great. And Jim gives his heart and soul to that.
What's the success rate with that? Is it
fantastic? Really good. We've had a couple of the people on here. I remember this one gentleman, he was actually living in Milwaukee, and he talked about how he would try to spend as many nights as he could as close to the police station as possible. I go, really? What? He says, well, I'd rather them wake me up 3 or 4 times a night and tell me to move than somebody stab me, beat me with a baseball bat, whatever. Because I felt as long as I was close to the police station, that stuff wouldn't happen. It would only be the cops giving me a hard time.
And that's a perspective you don't even consider either. It's like, that's a different world.
Right. And he went through that program. He admitted he had a crack cocaine problem and beat that. And he sat right here and spoke to us like any gentleman you would pull in off the street.
What's
on
he
his
do
way
now?
He works out there.
Okay.
At the center.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow. That's great.
Yeah.
So you guys typically, mostly a community show. You interview
absolutely
a lot of people from the, you guys are both kind of legends here.
We do talk about sports, I'll be honest with you. We get on a tangent about sports sometimes. But we like just, what's going on in the community? Because this is a really cool community. I mean, it really and truly is. And we just want to really publicize all the different things that are happening, the people that are making things happening, all those sorts of things. What makes this community the way it is? But also with, being very attuned to the normal, listener who texts us and say, hey, I'm listening every day. Or, who are they? Where are they going? Are we providing them with what they were hoping for this morning? That's always in the back of my mind.
That's great. Yeah. And are you having, in terms of how this gig compares to what we were talking about before, all your other gigs in Green Bay?
Well, the cool part with Civic Media is that they pretty much just said, you guys are doing great. Do your thing.
Yeah.
And a lot of other places, boy, you get... God bless them all, but you got salespeople, you got programming people, you got production people, you got the news people, you got the, executive producer, you've got the program director. You know how it is, how many different layers and levels there are, and then the general manager above all them. So, that could be a grind, just dealing with all of those different levels and layers.
You
at
guys
times.
Got your own place.
This,
like, this is like Bill and Ted's Excellent
First
Adventure
thing Murphy
here.
And Tammy Elliott both said when they walked in, oh my gosh, is this an awesome
Where
studio.
Are mom and dad?
Yeah, exactly. Right. And you know what? The thing I like about it, like I said, isn't this cool? Because I had never worked in radio where the person I'm doing it with wasn't right next to me pushing the buttons.
Yeah.
Okay, I was never the button pusher. But, right. but in all the TV shows they used to have, or even in Good Morning Vietnam, there was the studio and then there was the producer on the other side of the window.
It's right.
Like, I always thought, man, would that ever be cool to kind of work in that kind of a setting? And we got it here.
Yeah.
So after all these years, I finally get to look at my producer through the window and like give him cues and things like that. Although the cues don't mean anything. I just want to act cool when people are here.
You just give them a nod and then
right,
do your
exactly.
thing.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you like radio better though. Or well, in this currently.
You know what I really like? Like I co-host once in a while with Lisa Malik on her show Local 5 Live on FRV. And then I do the high school football games on Friday nights with Ted Stefaniak on NBC 26, or actually on my TV 32. So what I'm saying is I love doing that show with Lisa. I love doing high school football, but the stuff in between the day-to-day grind of TV, you know, it's one of those things, you know, you lose the flavor of it when you watch how salami is made or sausage is made or whatever.
Right,
they
right.
It's such a grind on a day-to-day basis in a newsroom.
Yeah.
It really is.
Well, you guys are crushing it. I mean, and I'll just say, I'm just putting it out there. Murphy's gone. He hung it up.
Yeah.
Someone's got to fill those shoes.
I told him right away, Murphy Mino and the Mayor has a good sound to it.
Oh, you want to bring him in here?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You think you could lure him out of retirement already?
No.
No.
It's worth a shot, though, right?
Oh, you guys are doing fine. Yeah. As great as he is, I think you're doing okay. So you talked about homeless, and I know it's Pearl Harbor Day.
Yes.
You are very passionate about helping veterans. Can you talk a little bit about, like, what you do for veterans and your
sure.
work?
Yeah. Sure. First, I just want to say that there's a gentleman, I've written 4 books. And my first one, Frontlines. On World War II, one of the gentlemen from Green Bay, and he had been a good friend of Mayor Schmitz as well. His name was Furman Balza. And on this day, he was on the USS Maryland, and he was reaching up to grab his dress shoes because he was going to mass on the island. And all of a sudden, you know, the world turned upside down. And he talked about what he did that day and everything that was going on. And the ship next to them got overturned. And it was a really, I forget how many guys they lost, but a really tragically sad situation where there were guys trapped in there. They figure up for 2 weeks and they couldn't get to them.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So, yeah. So Furman would tell me all those stories. So I always think of him. And actually, you know, another guy, Pete, I've got to get a copy of my book. Maybe you would know him. There was a guy, he was a corpsman and he's from Marinette.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What war?
World War II. This is Pearl Harbor.
Okay, maybe so, Arthur Gardner?
Maybe. I'll dig out my book and find out.
Arthur Gardner.
But I remember I went up to Marinette to interview him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, so Arthur Gardner, well, he didn't live in, he grew up in Marinette.
Okay.
His father, I believe, owned a suit store called Goldberg's for Men.
Okay.
And his name was Arthur Goldberg. He changed it to Gardner during World War II, went and fought, filmed the war.
Oh, wow.
While they were fighting, which to me is insane. It's like you don't even have a gun to, like, yeah, you're just yeah, like, yeah. ah. And he and his buddies took their cameras out to Hollywood and ended up making shows like The Rifleman and F Troop.
No kidding.
And here's what really hurts, John. I lived in L.A. for 14 years. He was alive. He died at 103, I think, in like 2012. He was out there when I would have, and my friend Mike McGuire, who's also a filmmaker from Marinette, lives out there, went and visited him. And said he's just like asking about Marinette. He was still very with
What's
it.
What's up
and
with Marinette with all the movie
isn't it
makers?
Weird? I know.
It's bizarre.
And Mike shot a film there a few years ago too. And he also gave you the
brush
push off.
Yeah, yeah. Story of my life.
Yeah, it's weird that I love. I'm a transplant, but every town has a great history.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to encourage people in Wisconsin to get in touch with me on this show so we can talk a little bit about who's from your town, what happened
Absolutely.
There. Cool stuff happens
love
everywhere.
That.
So
love that.
Anyway, I kind of interrupted you, but if this guy you're talking about was in Marinette, it probably wasn't him because I think he lived in California.
Okay, yeah, it wasn't him then, but he was a naval corpsman,
okay.
And they were bringing in the wounded, and the horrific burns, and, you know, guys just,
yeah.
So it was terrible, you know, with the wounded, to trying to take care of them. Everybody knows what happened on the Arizona and everything, but for those wounded guys and those doctors and nurses, they worked like, I think it was 3 days without sleeping.
That's
and ran
insane.
Out of everything, morphine, and yeah. So,
do you Are there organizations around here you want to plug for the work you do? Or I know you do the books too.
Yeah, well, I work with, you know, I'm working with that new one. It's the tiny house complex. There are 600 square foot houses that they plan on building over by, it's actually very close to the VA center on the east side of Green Bay. And they're getting, it looks like the property is going to be, they're going to get it from the county. Everything's real close to that, one last vote on it. And then they're going to start construction. So, yeah.
Wow, nice.
Yeah, so that's really cool. So I'm really trying to help them out.
So how do you like this for a segue?
Yes, sir.
My show, I typically talk about TV, movies, entertainment, and
yeah,
fun Wisconsin stuff. But let's segue
and
talk about, not that you love the films because of the subject matter, but Vietnam movies. Have you seen all of them? Are you a fan of them? Or?
Well, I don't know exactly how many are out there. I mean, obviously, everybody's seen Platoon 20 times.
The Deer Hunter.
Deer Hunter, Full Metal Jacket.
Full Metal Jacket,
those are all great.
Born on the 4th of July.
Born on the 4th of July. We were soldiers once.
Yeah.
So those were some of the classics of the Vietnam movies.
You know what's weird is I loved The Deer Hunter. It was the first Vietnam movie I saw. Yeah. I was in grade school, I think, like in 8th grade or something. And I loved it. And that's the only one I can watch over and over because of the performances. Most of them are hard to watch. Like Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah.
The violence in the war scenes are so real.
Yeah, I agree.
They're hard to watch.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
But you have a favorite? Do you typically steer away from those movies because of the work you do with veterans?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Not at all. I think We Were Soldiers.
Yeah.
We Were Soldiers once. And I was very fortunate. I worked with the Medal of Honor convention we had in Green Bay here in 2010 maybe. And it was a really cool thing. And one of the guys sitting next to me at breakfast, you know, I introduced myself and I saw the name and I'm like, oh, I looked it up in the program. He's the guy that Greg Kinnear.
Yeah.
That Greg Kinnear played this guy.
Oh,
he was a helicopter pilot. Snake. Remember that kept making trip after trip after trip.
Yeah.
So that was him. You got the Medal of Honor.
Wow.
But it's, so I mean, it's like, oh my God.
Is he from Green Bay?
No, he's not. Oh, okay. But we had the convention in Green Bay.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So that was really cool.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Okay, so in the next segment, our final segment, you and I will talk movies because you've seen, when I've been a guest on your show, and you guys have been amazing to me. Thank you for that. But you in particular, and Jim, but you're always more willing to talk about what you've seen. And it seems like you've seen just about everything that comes out. So I'll talk to John about that.
Well, except never saw Star Wars. Never saw any of those kind. Nothing. Zero. The only one close to that is Spaceballs.
So you saw the satirical version. But why? Well, like,
I don't know. I just wasn't into that science fiction space type things.
But okay, but now.
Yeah.
Would you see them like that? Here's what I don't understand. Like, I'm not a Star Wars guy either, but I've seen them all.
Yeah.
And I can't remember, like, my son loves Star Wars and his generation and my brother. I can't keep all the characters. I remember Luke and Leia from the first ones, but after that, they all run together. But I still see them all when they come out. Do you have any desire to go, what am I missing?
No, none at all.
Really?
No, if they come out with a Spaceballs too, I'm there.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I'm just telling you.
I'm a Mog. Part man, part dog. I'm my own best friend. John Candy was great.
Ludicrous speed.
So, all right. So before we go to the break, I have to ask you, what's the worst gift you've ever got?
You know, I heard you talking about that. And I don't know. It was like one of those, you know, things from wherever. You know, what's it called?
You got to do a little
white
bit
elephant.
One
of those white elephant type things.
All right. Hold on.
Okay.
Hold this till after break because I want to hear about this. And I want to encourage you guys, the texts have slowed up. We got a lot initially.
Hey, quick poll for you.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen Star Wars? Yes or no? I say no.
Okay. John Minor, we're one in the no column. I don't understand, but okay.
Yes for me.
Yes, and yes for me. 2-1 so far. We'll see how we do. You can text in on either topic, 920-264-0606. This is Nightlight. I'm Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Tap.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor.
but I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Lexi spent more than 6 years in foster care.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption, Lexi now has a forever family and the foundation for a bright future.
Adoption changed me for the better. I feel like I can be whoever I want to be.
You can help find permanent homes for children still lingering in foster care. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and John Mino tonight. He's helping me get down the, what's the great horse race? And down the stretch
and
they come.
And down the stretch they come.
He's got the voice for sports and radio. So we were talking, John. John Mino is here from the Mino and the Mayor show. It's the morning show here on WGBW and WISS. And he is sitting in with me tonight. The second hour here, we're talking movies, and we talked his career, his lengthy career, the snubs he's gotten from the movies he's tried to be in, and his worst. You were just about to tell us what the worst Christmas present you've ever gotten was.
It was a toilet paper holder.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Was it like customized?
It had like a little radio in it or something.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Is it?
Well, as those things go.
Sure. It was like a toilet paper holder dispenser with a built-in radio.
I will say this. Whoever bought that for you probably gave it some thought.
Probably.
And said, you know what?
Yeah.
I bet John's the kind of guy wants to hear a little, some tunes, you know? Wow.
Yeah.
How long ago was that?
Long time ago. That was in Tucson, Arizona. So that's many years ago, but it's one of those things you just never really forget.
Yeah, because I made a whole list here of stuff. Mine, my wife gave me shoe beans.
Shoe beans?
Beans. You put them in your shoe, and they make it smell better.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's, and I said that's kind of when you know the romance is gone in a marriage.
Yeah.
And it's harder to get it back when you know your feet smell.
You know, you almost think there would have been a subtle sign before that you missed. Somewhere?
Well, yeah, maybe. Keep them outside on the lanai, if you will. So that was mine. But, like, coffee cups and T-shirts are on your – I don't mind coffee cups.
I'll take a coffee cup or a T-shirt anytime.
Me too, and I'll tell you why, because I never go out to buy them.
Nope.
So
I will take either one all day long.
I'd say, oh, that's a nice Kiss T-shirt, Pete. Yeah, well, it's what I work out in. I don't go out and buy it, but
By the way. A person just texted me.
Yeah.
That I showed you.
Yeah.
She said she was driving along or she was about to fall asleep or hope she wasn't driving along. Yeah. And all of a sudden she heard our voices and she's listening to us.
Well, that's
very nice. So this is
Kim.
Nice. Kim is from Menasha. Okay.
Okay.
Now here's when you said the Kiss T-shirt. There's a reason I'm going with this.
Yeah.
Her son opened up a store selling used T-shirts. It's amazing.
Used
the
T-shirts.
The price that some of the old rock band and rock concert T-shirts go for these days. He's got a really successful shop. It's called the Wild Goose right on College Avenue in Appleton. And then he's got another one now, I believe, in Kenosha where he's going to college. Great, great stuff. The stuff they find, the old vintage stuff like that, that you and I probably would have worn at a concert or whomever. Big bucks.
So I recently drove through Michigan with my son. We were both in a movie and got to go to the premiere in Detroit, which is kind of cool. And we're driving home, and I can't be in Michigan and not listen to Bob Seger.
Oh, absolutely.
So I'm cranking Seger. We're driving, and it made me think of my buddy Mike Toomey's joke. He says, Bob Seger's the only guy you go to a Bob Seger concert, and you can't tell who is Bob Seger because they all look like Bob Seger. He goes, the only way you can tell who Bob Seger is he's the only one not wearing a Bob Seger concert T-shirt.
Oh, that's beautiful.
That's a great joke.
Oh, that is a great, great line.
All right, so let's get fantastic. To some TV and movie, John. What do you watch?
Well, Yellowstone.
Yeah, okay.
I've watched that entire series all the way through. I just think it's one of the greatest things in TV history. I like watching the old series. Like, I was watching Band of Brothers again the other day, and there's a new one coming out with the same producers in January, I believe it is, about the Air Corps in World War II. You know, because they did the Pacific, they did, which was the South Pacific, obviously, the Band of Brothers, which was Europe, and now this one's coming out about the Air Force. So I think that's going to be really cool. Yeah, okay. I love stuff like that. I love old documentaries. I watch weird stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the Nazi such and such uncovered. You know.
Do you like cop shows?
To a point. Okay. You know, I always feel like I'm going to be on Cops someday. So
you know what?
I'm going to be on Cops. You know, they'll haul me out of the trailer without a shirt on, pants halfway down.
What a sad end to a Green Bay broadcasting legend's
career, right?
That would be. But you know what? Kind of poetic.
I think so, too.
Romantic to go out like that.
And I finally made the big screen. Look at me, Mom. I'm on the top of the world.
I think of you, Schwab. I made it anyway.
Exactly. Look at you, Pete.
Have you seen any of the holiday movies? You have a holiday favorite, John?
I'll be honest with you.
Okay.
And I talked about this one day, and Dr. Kristen gave me a little bit of a hard time. It's tough when a doctor gives you a hard time.
Yeah.
But anyway, I said I like the Hallmark Network.
Really?
Yeah.
Just the kind of guilty pleasure, feel
something,
good.
It's always the same theme. It's like, you know, some woman and her mom are selling Christmas trees because her dad passed away and they need to keep the farm. And then all of a sudden she goes, oh my gosh, Mom, is that Carl? Yes, it is, dear. What's he doing here? I thought he was a brain surgeon in New York. Well, his wife left him for a pro hockey player and he moved back. Oh. Yeah, exactly. You know, it's one of those kind of things every single time, but I fall for it every single time. And the guy's always wearing a plaid shirt and a down vest.
He's got a beard.
A little bit of a beard.
Very well coiffed.
Absolutely.
Okay, so here's my...
You see him? You see that guy?
Yeah. Here's the thing, too. Like, if sentiment sneaks up on me, I will start... The rain will come right away.
Yeah.
And I was watching... We had just given birth to my son. This is like, 22 years ago or so. And I'm watching a show on TV. I don't even know what my wife is watching. And it's the baby gets taken from a shopping cart and kidnapped. And I started like, it just occurred to me, oh my God, I got a son. I got to protect this person. And I started like, the tears kind of go, what is this? And she goes, Walker, Texas Ranger. I'm like, I'm crying at Walker, Texas Ranger. But I didn't know what it was.
Well,
it was like,
if anybody could make you cry.
Come on, softy.
Come on now.
But you don't have a holiday favorite you can leave the people with?
Still love It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah.
Still great. Love It's a Wonderful Life. Can't not watch it when it's on. Not watch it.
Love it. Christmas Vacation?
Love it.
Yeah.
Who doesn't? I mean, how do you not? You know, some of those are just like...
It's just a given.
But you know what's the most underrated thing is Julia Louis-Dreyfus in that movie.
Oh, she's so funny.
She is so... Everything that she does is hilarious in that movie.
And justified.
Yeah.
If Clark Griswold was my neighbor, I'd want to punch him out too.
Absolutely.
And I'd probably end up on my back from something stupid he did, just like with her husband.
Absolutely.
Who is Christopher Guest's brother, by the way. All right. This has been
a
lot of fun. Yeah, we had... This is John Mino. Thank you for being here tonight.
My pleasure, Pete.
Check
anytime.
Out,
this is great. Love what you're doing.
Yeah, let's do it again.
Absolutely.
Check out Mino and the Mayor every morning right here at WGBW. And we'll do it again. Tomorrow night, I got Terry Barr and an opera singer in studio. It's going to be awesome.
Really?
Yeah. So please tune in again tomorrow night. Thank you for the text, everybody. Thanks to my guest, Matt Miller, John Mino, Kristen Elfham, Jim Schmidt, and Don Brown. I'm Pete Schwabba. Thanks for listening to Nightlight.
Tell a friend what's on tap. There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W22 ADP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.